pull out your bulletins, and I'm going to be reading the song that's on the front of the bulletin. Next week, we'll be taking up a special offering for the people that have been devastated in Japan. And this song was chosen just to help get our minds prepared and maybe reflect a little bit before the special contribution next week. I Refuse by Josh Wilson. Sometimes I just want to close my eyes and act like everyone's all right when I know they're not. This world needs God, but it's easier to stand and watch. I could pray a prayer and just move on like nothing's wrong. But I refuse because I don't want to live like I don't care. I don't want to say another empty prayer. I refuse to sit around and wait for someone else to do what God has called me to do myself. I cannot choose not to move, but I refuse. I can hear the least of these crying out so desperately, and I know we are the hands and feet of you, O God. So if you say move, then it's time for me to follow through and do what I was made to do. Show them who you are. Because I don't want to live like I don't care. I don't want to say another empty prayer. I refuse to sit around and wait for someone else to do what God has called me to do myself. I could choose not to move, but I refuse. To stand and watch the weary and lost cry out for help, I refuse to turn my back and try and act like all is well. I refuse to stay unchanged, to wait another day, to die to myself. I refuse to make one more excuse, because I don't want to live like I don't care. I don't want to say another empty prayer. I refuse to sit around and wait for someone else to do what God has called me to do myself. I could choose not to move, but I refuse.
Again, next Sunday morning, we'll have a contribution for those of the triple disaster, the great disaster in Japan. For those of you, I'm sure everybody's familiar, the earthquake a little over 2 weeks ago, immediate tsunami, and then the nuclear crisis they've been going through. And just be praying for them. That's pretty catastrophic. And you have brothers and sisters and those who will be your brothers and sisters who are there needing a lot of help. Now, for just a moment here, would you stand up and say hello to your friends and neighbors beside you? Good morning is a good thing. How are you? That's a thought. Good to see you. Okay, good morning. This is out of hand. Hey, usher, somebody help those guys find a seat, will you? I'm kidding. I'm just joking, guys. I've been threatened. Someone's threatened to take the mic and do the preaching this morning. You guys might really start liking this meet and greet thing. I don't know. Kevin, Greg, I was just kidding about the ushers, but anyway, let's pray together and get started here. Let me say that better. Let's pray together, and we'll continue spending time in the Lord. Father, thanks so much for this morning. Thanks for laughter and just voices that enjoy seeing one another, talking to one another, because you are good, God. You're really, really good. We love you, Father, for being who you are. We love you for never being insecure or shaken or rattled. We really appreciate that when people don't believe in you, you don't get all ticked off and have to prove your point. You know who you are. You know very well who you are. And God, we need that in our lives always. And pray, Father, that you would be with all the folks that maybe we don't know so well, but that we love dearly in Japan. Pray that you would send great comfort and help and hope. And if it's your will, us to help. And Father, pray that we would, as Don said, give something that hurts a bit. And Father, pray for the families that are there that we do know. Thinking of Simon's sister teaching English and some other folks who are there and teaching areas, helping out. Just pray that you'd bless them and use them well as great examples. But Father, for the rest of our time here today, I just want to thank you for every soul and every heart that's here. Thanks for the desire to be here, and I pray that you would feed us well. Move me out of the way, God. There's nothing good here but you. Pray that you would be the one that is exalted in this time. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you would look at the screens, we're going to read for a moment, and it's the scripture reading. You've heard it already once. Another time may help us to gain a little more from it, okay? Very truly I say to you, no, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep gate by the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." On Wednesday nights, over the last few weeks, we've been discussing in this class about knowing God, knowing God for real. That we've been invited to know him, not just information about him, not just gain a knowledge of him, but that we would know him. I believe the invitation is more intimate than a husband and a wife would know one another, if you understand where I'm going. But you would know him, you would know him well, that you would know him. I don't know how else to say this, but God has invited us to know him. And some of the things that I want to share with you this morning, I need to do some distinguishing first. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about the distinct differences between the shepherd and the sheep. And we need to get this down so that we understand what our role is and what his role is. And so the first thing I want to say is a few differences between the shepherd. Differences between shepherd and sheep. Number one, the shepherd is not a cowboy. The shepherd's not a cow. Jesus is not a cowboy. He's not a cowboy on a cattle drive. He's not a rustler. He's not driving the sheep. He says, "I lead my sheep." He's not a cowboy on a cattle drive. He's not rustling dogies or whatever you would say that they do in those westerns that we've all watched growing up. That's not Jesus. He's not a cowboy. He doesn't sing the song, "I Should Have Been a Cowboy," whatever that country song is. I'm not even sure he likes country music. In fact, I'm sure he doesn't. But I'm kidding for all of you country music fans, but you can repent of that later. The shepherd is not a drill sergeant. Sorry, Josh. Don, some of you guys. And sorry for calling you out. He's not a drill sergeant. He's not trying to shape up this platoon so that you can pass and then go fight wars somewhere. He's not working you out in ROTC and helping pay your college bill. He is not a drill sergeant. He's not waking you up at 5 in the morning telling you to make your bed, sweep the floor, and do whatever else drill sergeants do. He's not barking orders, not cussing you up and down and calling your mama names. That's not God. That's not Jesus. He's not the local sheriff. wondering what in the world you've been doing over the last few weeks. I saw you out pretty late the other day, and I've been wondering what's going on. Hiding in the boy. It tells on how you drive whenever you say this. Hiding behind signs, and you cause this panic every time you see one. You know, that's not Jesus. He's not there with a radar gun clicking on you all the time. That's not him. And he's certainly not an IRS agent, right? He's not checking you and watching you and saying, you didn't pay your, you haven't paid up, you've not been doing what you're supposed to be doing, you didn't report these things to me. This is him. The good shepherd, he loves his sheep. And he develops a close, intimate relationship with them so that they know his voice and trust him. Remember the scripture said, I know them by name. It reminds me of people who own animals. I've been down to John's farm where he has horses and watch him just, it's pretty awesome to watch the way that he plays with and babies and cares for those horses. They're horses. You know, I'll be like, feed them and let's go. No. He knows and they know him and they sense him. They know clearly if they didn't see the difference between me and him quickly. And the sheep have a name from the shepherd. They all have names. I mean, these are his sheep. He understands the needs of the sheep better than they know. He understands the threat, what threatens the sheep, what makes them sick. He works tirelessly to provide protection and security. He leads them to fresh pastures and water. He searches out sheep when they stray. You know, the lost sheep, how the shepherd, he leaves the 99 behind together, and he wanders off or walks off to find the one that has wandered off. And he searches, and he searches, and he searches, and then he doesn't drag it back or tie a rope around his neck and pull it back. He puts it on his shoulders, and he carries it back to the flock, carries it back to safety. That's a great image of Jesus. He goes on ahead of the sheep. He examines them to make sure they're not injured. He comforts them when they are hurt or feel fearful. And he's always keeping them on the move. They don't get the sheep. They say have such a tendency to get in a rut. Anyway, it goes on and on. All the things that a shepherd does to care for the sheep, the good shepherd, a good shepherd, the good shepherd, our good shepherd. We get this right. It's a pretty simple application, right? Okay, sheep. Maybe it'll help when you hear this part. Sheep. Just raise your hand as these fit you. I'm kidding about that. Sheep depend heavily on their vision. They have excellent peripheral vision. Sorry about that. And can see behind themselves without turning their heads. That's pretty awesome. However, they have poor depth perception, and they cannot see what's immediately in front of their noses. And they have some vertical perception, but they can't really see something up in a tree. So they've got pretty weird sight. It says they are timid, fearful, easily panicked. Everybody raise your hands on that one. Dumb, stupid, gullible, very vulnerable to fear, frustration, pests, hunger, easily influenced by a leader, by the shepherd, stampede easily, vulnerable to mob psychology, little or no means of self-defense, can only run, wow, can only run, easily killed by enemies. The shepherd is the most effective calming influence. They're jealous, competitive, they vie for dominance, constantly need fresh water, fresh pasture, have very little discernment in choosing food or water. Best water source is early morning dew. They're perverse and stubborn. Will insist on their own way, even eating poisonous berries, plants, dirty drinking water. Easily cast or flipped over on their back, unable to right themselves, and will die of starvation if not turned over by the shepherd. That's pretty funny. I've fallen and can't get up. That's weird. That's weird. Frequently look for easy places to rest. This is just too hard. Don't like to be sheared or cleaned. Too much wool can cause sheep to be easily cast also. They're creatures of habits. And of all livestock, they need the most care. They need to be kept on the move constantly. They're totally dependent on the shepherd, and they need a rod and a staff. They need comforted, guided, and disciplined always. That's tough. The first thing I think is, why sheep? What do I got to be a sheep for when Jesus starts talking here? Why can't I be a stallion? Why can't I be a boar, a tiger, or an elephant? I don't care, a giraffe. I mean, that's what I've always called. Why can't we be something else? Anything fits. I mean, it makes me feel better. I used to have a dog. He's a German shepherd. And I've told Kendall the stories forever about how cool he was, you know. Why can't I be a dog? You got to be a sheep. And you stink. And you can't take care of yourself. And you get on your back and you can't turn over. That's just, it's just really accurate, isn't it? I mean, it's really hauntingly, pathetically accurate. And very humbling, right? As we sit here this morning and look around at one another. Just look around for a minute. Look at your brother and your sister. Just look around. Look at the nice clothes. Look at the nice smile. And you thought that sucker had it all together, didn't you? He might be on his back right now and can't get anything to eat. And it looks like he's doing pretty well. Isn't that weird? Look around. Come on, you're uncomfortable looking around because you're like, I don't know, because someone's looking at me and they think I don't have it all together. I got to look at you. You're looking at me. Look around. This is tough stuff. This is where life is, right? I mean, we can keep playing games like, I've got this thing all together and I'll fight for myself and I'll try to make a way, and you're going to die. We're going to die eating poison berries, drinking dirty water, falling on our backs and nobody around to take care of us. Or we can be honest that we need the shepherd. And there's one thing I haven't said yet. The sheep are so prone and so blessed in community. Because of a shepherd, because they belong somewhere, the shepherd and one another, they take care of one another. They look out for one another. And as a shepherd leads, they may all not all be able to see him at the time, but they lead one another and they guide one another. And that is the blessing of the shepherd and the blessing of right community, right? That's good stuff. But it's hard to be called a sheep. I mean, it's really hard to be called a sheep, but it is really amazing to be called a sheep. And so here's the blessing from the top, and this is where we're going to get going here. Number one, Jesus said in this scripture, I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I know my sheep. Listen to what David says in Psalm 139. You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, Lord. You, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Everybody read with me. You have searched me, O Lord. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. It would help if I read it right, correct? You hear that, though. The Lord knows me. I mean, he knows me. You know me. We know one another, right? To a degree. Some of us a little better than others. But the Lord knows you. You get out of the shower in the morning, man, and your wife walks in, and ta-da! You got to shave, you got to do whatever. You're aggravated, you're mad, you're disturbed, you're frustrated, whatever. People know your characteristics. They know you. But they don't know you. I mean, there's some things in there, right? And there's some stuff in there that doesn't get known by anyone, really. The little motivations, the little frustrations, the little disappointments, the little selfishness, the Lord knows them. the little desires that are right, and can I ever get there? The hopes that I'll be different, and I think I can make it. Man, the Lord knows them all. Isn't that awesome? That's incredible. The Lord knows me. It's not just that he's hung out with you, and so he knows you. It's not just he bumped into you a few times, and he knows you. He has searched you because he loves you. I mean, you're interesting to him. He's like, I'm going to check this guy out. I want to check her out. You're awesome. So you're like, you're doing this, and you're doing this. This is who you are. This is what you do. This is how you feel. That's kind of smelly. That's really good. And he searches, and he comes to know you. You've searched me. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Psalms 103, what a comforting passage here. Scripture says in Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse nor harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, but or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are but dust. He knows how we were formed. He remembers you. He remembers forming you out of dust. He remembers you. He knows how you were formed. That's knowing. That's cool. That's comforting. I can't imagine, aside from his power, that he has all that great expectations out of you. he remembers how you were formed. I was just working one day in the mud, and it's not really that easy, but you understand. He doesn't expect too great things out of us. We're sheep. What are they good for? Well, you get a little wool out of them. Maybe a little meat. But there's a whole lot of trouble in it, right? But in his power, in his working, in his help, in his aid, in his leading and guiding, there's some big stuff that happens in the Lord. And he says, I know my sheep, and I call them by name. Wayne, Spike, John, me, Serena, Kristen, Brittany, I know you by name, Teresa, Mary. I know my sheep. I know their name. Rose, how neat is it that Jesus knows your name? I mean, it's not so easy. It doesn't walk him and go, what was that their name? Because I don't remember. Well, I think I saw them one time. We were introduced, and I can't remember. Just tell me real quick before they get here. He knows your name. He knows the name of a sheep. And not just the name. He knows you personally. And while you're sitting there going, oh, no, or oh, yes, he's going, no, just okay, it's good. Just settle in. I know you, and it's all right, because I'm going to lead my sheep, and I'm going to take care of my sheep, and my sheep know me. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This is what we've been settling into on Wednesday nights. And here are some of the passages. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life. And this is a powerful verse. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says these very words to God. Now this is eternal life. This is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. That they know you. That's amazing, isn't it? That I could know God. That I could get it a little bit. I mean, he's bigger than me knowing him, but that I could know him. The invitation, the welcoming, come have some. Come hang out. Come get to know me. Let's get to know one another. It's life. It's eternal life to know him. And so the wrestling is that, but how do we know God? And Jesus says in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled, starting in verse 1. You trust in, or you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the Father. You know the way to the place I'm going. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I'm not really sure why it says Jesus the way to the Father. Jesus said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I am the Father. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. When we say, this is life eternal, they would know you. You can know God. The call is, watch Jesus, because he is God. And he's going to live right in front of your face. He's going to live it in the Word, and as you pray, he's going to be there with you when you pray, and as you watch brothers and sisters, he's going to work in lives, and you can know the Father. When you look at creation outside and take a deep breath when the sun comes up in the springtime, you know the Father. Next verse, Jacob. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And listen to what he says here, that the Son, that Jesus, the one you read about in the Word, the one you're watching in the New Testament, constantly doing what he's doing, loving how he's loving, caring like he's caring, you're seeing the Father in the flesh. You're seeing God in the flesh. And there's the invitation, come to know me. And the scripture goes on in this verse, he says, it's not only that you know me, but you know me so well that you know my voice. It's not just that you know me, it's that you know me so well you know my voice. Remember those animated cartoons, Night at the Museum, Cars, some of those, Ice Age, where that dude's on there talking or that girl's talking, and you're like, I know who that is, but I just can't place the name. Who is that? And your wife's like, oh, it's Tom Hanks. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yeah, and then you see the credits, you're like, she's right again. You know, but you wrestle with the names and trying to place the voices. A lot of times it's like that for people with God. A lot of times it's like that for us with God. Are we hearing him? Was that him? I'm not really sure. Scripture tells us to test the spirits so we know who's working in us or on us or who's challenging us or trying to move us. Listen for just a moment here.
It proves to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one...
Ferb, I know what we're going to do today.
You know the rest of the story.
You're fired.
You're fired. Today, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Voices, right? Some of you know those voices and they just take your breath. Some of the historic voices there. Some of them make you laugh a little bit. Hey, Ferb, I know what we're going to do today. Mom, Phineas and Ferb are working on a title sequence. You know, I mean, the voices, we get it. They stand out to us. They're reminders. We tried to get Scooby-Dooby-Doo, but it didn't work right. You know, I figure everybody would get that. And what voice is blocking out God's in your life? Maybe you got it well. Maybe you're hearing it well. Maybe it's not an issue. Maybe as clear as can be, as clear as Nick comes over and says, I think I want to change this song to this song because this one has a more better emphasis on the Good Shepherd. That's a voice, isn't it? Let's see. Yeah, that's awesome, Nick. What's blocking out his voice in your life? I remember they published a calendar at Shawnee State a few years ago, and they added student quotes to the side. They just corny quotes, deep quotes. This one girl said, I'm pretty sure I have the cure for cancer somewhere in my brain, but that neuron is covered by useless quotes from the Brady Bunch and shows like that. And so the reality is not that God's not speaking. Of course he's speaking. It's what keeps us from hearing. I know my sheep, and they know me, and they hear my voice. They don't follow a stranger. They don't follow anyone else. They follow me. He says in John 10, it's not up here this time. Therefore Jesus said again, verily, very truly I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And here is the last point I want to share with you today. I know my sheep know me, they know my voice, and I lead them. Remember, he's not a cowboy, he's a shepherd. He's not on a cattle drive, he's leading sheep, and you and I are those sheep. And David, as I listen to these words, they will go in, they will come in and go out and find pasture. How powerful is that thought alone? We wrestle with everything, right? We wrestle with trying to find pasture everywhere. Listen to Matthew 6 here as Jesus says, Jacob, if you want to click down to Matthew 6, it's the second one up there right now. Thank you. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not worth much, and are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And you hear him saying here, I'm going to lead you. You don't have to sweat this stuff if you trust me. But the voices in our head that are pulling us, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. In fact, they know my voice. But what voice is pulling you today? Is it him? Or is it clouded? When Jesus says, my sheep will come in and go out and find pasture, I think of how David must have been so excited when he read when he wrote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. They listen to my voice, and I lead them. I lead them to green pastures. I lead them beside quiet waters because they know my voice, and they know me. They don't listen to strangers because they don't know strangers. They are trained to hear my voice. Isn't that incredible? It's not so bad to be a sheep, is it? See, a German shepherd, a cool German shepherd, he just does what he wants to do. You might train him to fetch a ball, but you don't take care of him like a shepherd takes care of a sheep, because he doesn't need cared for like that. And he won't be cared for like that. And I certainly don't want to try to take care of a lion or a tiger or anything. You just can't do it. It's a sheep. And it's so fitting. It's so fitting that we are called sheep. Wrestle with yourself a little bit on this. Wrestle and admit it to someone. Just a sheep, man. My fur gets all nappy and sticky and messy. Gets twigs stuck in it. And I'm like, oh no, take a picture of the other side. That's got a bunch of junk in it. And that's got junk in it too. I'm eating poison berries and manure and junk. And I cannot even take care of myself. I don't even know where to find food or water. And as soon as I think I've found something, I look up and shepherd's gone and I'm lost. And when I try to find myself or find him, I get even more lost. And I don't know what I'm going to do, and all of a sudden I'm floating. No, he's carrying me. That's what this is. He found me. How awesome to be a sheep. David Crowder, in one of his songs, I'm going to share this and we're going to be finished. The song is Holy, Holy, Holy. It says, I am full of earth, and you are heaven's worth. I am stained with dirt, prone to depravity. And you are everything that is bright and clean, the antonym of me, you are divinity. What an awesome God. He gets us. He knows that we're not what we promote, except for when we promote him. And then he comes to life in us in a powerful way. And we're everything that we ever dreamed we could be in him. Then he puts us together in community, and he's got a flock. He's got a flock he can do something with. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks so much for this time. You are our God, and we are the people of your pasture. We're the sheep of your hand, Lord. Pray that you would bless us, that you would move us closer to you, Lord. And right now, if there is someone here wrestling with giving their lives to you, being immersed in baptism to rise in new life, God, I pray that you would encourage them and move them and challenge them, Lord. And anyone that just is struggling, help them to know that you love them and we love them as well. And help them to trust somebody with their struggle. Lord, thanks for this day. Make us good sheep that follow you. Thanks for being our shepherd. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you have any desire to respond to the invitation, there'll be an elder on either side of the auditorium here. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?